informal here in the morning, so early on Saturday morning. Come on in, make sure. Come on, join us. We want to start off today by talking to our very special guest, Ms. Jad Kirkland, who's here to talk to us today about the history of Coppell. As I put in your meeting notice that I sent out to those of us who are members, Mrs. Kirkland has been a lifetime resident of Coppell. She was born in Coppell, and she's lived here all her life, continuously. Tell us when you were born.
1902.
April 11th, 1902. That makes her, I believe, 90 years old.
6 months.
That's great. Well, we're awfully glad to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
We thought we would talk to her a little bit informally today about some things that might be interesting to all of us to hear about the history of Coppell. We didn't call Paragon Cable this time. Last time, for those of you who were at the meeting, you know, we had them here. And I thought this time we'd be a little more informal. We were appreciative of them coming and filming, but it sort of was like we were working for the cable, working for the camera. And I thought it might be nice to have a little more informal situation this time. So we're making a little tape recorder of what Ms. Kirkland has to say, and we're going to take a picture later on, and the papers won't put it in for us. When we spoke last night briefly, you mentioned to me that a lot of changes have taken place in your life. Mention some of the things that have taken place in your life, just in general.
Well, the first thing that I think of is we had no automobiles when I was real small. I think I was 8 when I had my first automobile ride. And I'm sure that we went 15 miles an hour. We sure stirred up the dust because we didn't have gravel roads then. Had one from right out there through by the stores and down east a short distance. All the rest of them was dirt roads. They weren't streets, they were roads. And they traveled with wagons and buggies and horses. And to me, of course, there's no radio, television, airplanes, everything was quiet. When we played out at night, we could look up and talk about the stars. And now you can't find the stars till the airport lights. We don't have any stars anymore. And all this, a lot of things. Our schools and things were closed. We didn't have buses. And when we didn't work, we went on the train.
Now, you mentioned to me last night, I've talked to Jack two or three major times and made tape recordings of her talking to me for a long time, longer than we're going to be here today, about everything I could get her to talk about so we'd have it on tape or on paper or whatever. But one of the things you mentioned to me last night briefly, we wanted to sit and talk for hours last night, but I couldn't. But you mentioned to me that when you had the windows open at night, you could also hear some other noises coming from Coppell. Do you remember where that was, the White Way?
Well, the later years, the White Way down here where we had the beer jumps. And you hear the Nickelodeon things going. But that was, I was a teenager then when we had all that. But when we were younger, of course, we never locked a door, screen, or anything. We just, the windows, we didn't have air conditioners. Sometimes it got hot in the house, we'd go out in a hammock. Sleep under the tree. We had a hammock in the backyard, and we took turns sleeping in the hammock. I'd be afraid now.
Tell us about your grandfather, just quickly, who he was, where he lived, so we can kind of put it into perspective, and then where you lived and about your house.
Well, when my grandfather lived over here on Lock Lane, it was just a little lane that ended the house at the end of the lane. And he came in, let's see, 1878, because they built the church in 1879.
And what was his name?
John Stringfellow. And my mother was 5 years old. when they moved to Scottsdale. They came from Grapevine. They came from Tennessee. And all of his family was born in Tennessee except my mother, and she was born in East Texas, Dangerfield. And they moved to Grapevine and stayed 4 years. And my mother was 5 when they came to Coppell. And when she was 6, that's when they organized the Methodist Church. He gave the land, the corn off his farm right across the street. And they built the first Methodist Church when she was 6 years old.
I believe he also had a blacksmith shop?
Yes, he had a blacksmith shop right back of that shop in the corner of his pasture. And the first Dutch arbor that I ever saw was they had a meeting and they built a little brush arbor out there and had lanterns for the lights. Of course, it wasn't any trouble for us to find the chairs to sit in then. But now, after you select the lights, you couldn't have found your seat. You'd have sat in somebody's lap again. You couldn't have found them. I don't know how we could see, but I can remember that. And I just, I thought that was the most wonderful thing, to go to church outside and have the lights, the lanterns. Everybody brought their lanterns.
Now, you told me that the Methodist Church, the original building was built closer to the road.
Oh, yes, and I have a picture of that there. It was, it was just a little narrow road here, and it was almost in front of this house out here, which was my home. I was born on Lock Lane, and I moved to this house out here when I was about, 2 years old.
This is the house next to the Texaco station.
Yeah. It's been there 88 years, and more than more now, about 88 and a half. And the church, you could look out that front door, and the church was just right. We had to be real quiet when they were having church, because you had to have the windows up. At the church and everywhere, and we had to be so quiet. And of course, most of the time we were in the church ourselves, but like they just had business meetings and things. Well, we'd have to be quiet because you'd hear the things. And when they rebuilt it, of course, this church here is built from the old lumber, the old church. They just moved the old church back and turned it crossways. You know, it was long this way, and they just turned it this way and put it on a newer foundation. And
you mean originally it faced south?
Faced the east.
Or it faced east?
Faced east.
Okay.
And then they just turned the church around and made it, you know, it's longer this way than it is east and west.
So this house across the street was built in...
When I was about 2 years old.
2 years old, so 1904, something like that.
1904 is when I was built.
And how long did you live there?
I lived there until 1960. Mm-hmm. And I moved up the street. I started over here at Lock Lane, and then I moved over here. And then I went up here and went around the corner. That's why the old drugstore. And I have a picture of that drugstore back then.
Tell us about, now you mentioned the car, the first time you ever took a ride in a car. Now tell me that story about whose car it was and everything.
Well, it was when they put the first bridge across Denton Creek, over this way. They had this one that, it wasn't Denton Tap, that Denton Tap was there, it was further to the east. But they didn't have one over here. You had to, it was just a, you crossed, I can remember going across it sometime. Before they built that bridge, there's people that lived over there that we'd visit, and we'd have to go and cross the creek. But they picked up a kind of a rocky place, where there was a lot of rock, and it was more shallow. And we'd cross that in a wagon, which couldn't go in a buggy because it was too deep. And of course it'd scare you to death going across and water come up to the bed of the wagon. But we'd have to go in a wagon when we visited anybody over there. And
now this would be where 121
is. Well, now I'll make my speeches too long because I think of things. But when they built that bridge, I was about 8 years old, I guess. And that's when I rode in my first car. My daddy helped do the was his teens, and he had started working for the county some, and they had lived in the gravel some of the roads then, and they were working. I have a picture of some of the teams and men that when they built that bridge over there, and that those trees back behind where those men are standing is Denton Creek. And the supervisor from Dallas came out. Of course, they were just doing the dirt work for the bridge, you know. The supervisor from Dallas came out in a car. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was about 8 years old. My old sister Sally was about 10. And he asked us to, he wanted to go look at the bridge, you know, see how it was doing. And he asked us to go with him. That was the first. I just thought, oh, this is just going on. But if we could just go further. It was just so close when we got there so quick. It wasn't like walking or going in a wagon or buggy. Anyway, we went in that car, and I remember, of course, all the houses were old houses then over this way. Most when people first came here, I imagine they just built log houses, and some of the houses would have a log kitchen, and they'd build onto it, you know, and then they'd build a nicer home, but they'd use the old houses for rent houses. And when we were going over to see about that bridge, and I was in that car, I wanted to be sure everybody saw me in that car. Yeah. And I looked at every house to see if any I was looking at. There's a lot of waving. And the dust, you've never seen as much dust. And I imagine we were going about 15 miles an hour. It was just about like a buggy. It looked kind of like a buggy. There wasn't any doors on the car. You know, I thought it was going to fall out. Because it was going fast.
Now, the way you drove over to where the bridge was going to be, you told me, was the way that people went from here to Louisville. So tell us how you went from your house here.
Well, you turn off over here on Ruby Road, mm-hmm. go to State Road, and then when you get to Sweet Road, we turn back to the right, just a short distance, and then turn left on Coppell Road. And then that's the same road that you go to. And the old bridge was further to the west than the new bridge is on 121 now. That bridge was further to the west and was real low after they built the on 121. You could see that little bridge way down there.
So in these days, if we picture this, there was no road. This is Coppell Road now. In those days, I don't even think you called it that. Actually, Coppell Road went to Grapevine, so they called it. But this road is now Coppell Road. It didn't go any further north than Ruby Road, which on the right is, what's the street on the
Plantation.
Right?
Plantation.
Plantation. There was only, you said, a dirt road.
Just a two of a pasture. Just a trail.
So you had to turn left on Ruby Road, right on State.
And when you came to look for going to Grapevine, you see, this is, yeah, they came through Coppell from Louisville.
So an interesting point is that people traveling between the two communities had to pass through Coppell mm-hmm. to get to it because there was no 121. Mm-hmm. And this is before Denton Tap?
Oh, yeah. Before
Denton Tap. Same thing over in that area.
Long
you had to go
the
over.
Carrollton Dam.
Right.
You know that. Now, Carrollton Dam was that was something when they built that. And
somewhere
to go on Sunday when we got teenagers and started going boys, you know, we'd go to the dam, go Kodaking. They called it Kodaking.
Kodaking.
Make pictures down the dam. And then the weekdays we go swimming in there.
Now this dam is on Sandy Lake Road. Uh-huh. And it was built in the 30s sometime, I believe. We've already heard the story about Prater jumping off the bridge. Those of you who remember that, she knows that story too. She remembers it. You didn't see Walter Prater jump off the bridge.
No, I didn't know that day. I didn't know.
She meant that she would have remembered that.
And I remembered it. We set fire to his clothes
and jumped off the bridge into the water on a bed. Now, tell us tell us about the Texas State Fair.
Well, I don't know. I know I had a blue dress and a blue hat on, and my sister Sally had a red dress and a red hat on. And our daddy took us to the fair. See, I remember the colors of our hats because we had to, he told us when we got there, he says, now, you girls stay together, and if you get lost, he shows us where to go. But says, now, you hold hands and stay together. Well, they gave away so many samples then, and there's samples of the cereals and things about the size of post ends. You got a bowl full when they gave samples then. And they gave those big sacks away, you know. So, and we filled that full, and we had one hand with a sack full. And he let us ride everything in the fairground. It was just a nickel and a dime. Or a dime to ride all the things. I had one that was kind of like a roller coaster. It was called a figure eight. You got up there and you'd make a figure eight. And there we had our bags. And we had a rubber band under our hats. This little old hat turned up around, you know, on a rubber band on it. You had to cut our necks off of it. Going fast, feel like coming off the hat, grab for the hat, and hold the bag with on. But we had a good time.
Tell us how old you were.
I was 10. We decided I was 12. And we went on the train that morning and stayed all day. At the depot, the streetcars came right by the Union Station, and we rode a streetcar out to the fairground. And of course, I tried, the reason I remember so much what we had on, because that's what I kept up with, the red hat. I look around, and I wouldn't even be with her. It scared me to death. And when we got back home, I told Mama, I said, I think everybody there had on a red hat, a red dress. And I said, no, they didn't. I said, hey, Mom had blue ones on. But the first time we went to the fair, I went in a covered wagon. But I don't remember that. But they bought me a doll buggy. And I don't remember the dog buggy while I was at the fairground. But after I got home, I kept it long enough that I remembered having the dog buggy, and they pushed me in that dog buggy. My sisters and little friends up there put me in that dog buggy and pushed me. That's how I remember it.
You were about four, didn't you say? About 4 years old?
Yeah, three.
Tell us about coming back. Now, I think this... Ms. Jack told me that her sister told me this story. She remembered, but coming back in the wagon and the doll buggy.
Yes. Well, they just come back and they told this on me. Now, I don't even remember it. But said that I had that doll buggy and I wanted to push it. And, of course, when they went in covered wagons to the fair, or went anywhere at a distance, more than one wagon would go. You know, several families would go in two or three wagons. So if they had trouble, you know, they'd all be together. And about two families to the wagon. And my aunt and uncle and two teenage girls were with us. And, of course, I had a brother and sister besides Sally. And that was pretty good size. They had long legs. And, they'd sit in the wagon facing each other and the legs sticking out. Well, I wanted to push my dog buggy. And the kids wouldn't put their feet up. And I had my aunt. Well, she humored me. She said, now you kids get your long legs up under you there and let her push her dog buggy. She says, I never heard of anybody getting a dog buggy and have to wait 2 days to push it. She said, now just get your feet up under you and let her play with her dog buggy. Well, I pushed that dog buggy up and down that wagon and it was going and falling on them. And they said, I was mad at me. Said I pushed that dog buggy exactly all the way home. But I don't remember that, but I remember after I got home. of playing with it. See, I got old enough that I still had the doll.
And now, this is the same story, I think, that tells about pork and beans.
Oh, yeah. No, this is before then, I think. My grandmother, they all went to Dallas, and you know, he stayed in the wagon yard. It wasn't a parking lot. It was a wagon yard. And the family, several wagon loads, went to fair, imagine. And they stayed in the wagon yard. Of course, it took you all day to go, and you stayed all night, and then went to the fair the next day, stayed another night, and came home. And they went to, and my grandmother said, well, says, now I've been reading where they have a pork and beans, and says, let's get some. And you can buy it by the gallon there at the wagon yard. I guess they have a little grocery store there. And she says, I don't think we'll need any pork because seven pork and beans. And so they all crowded around to see him when they opened up the can of pork and beans. And when the pork is out, said Grandma looks, says, well, is that one little piece of pork all there is? That's what I said, I think we're going to need some meat. I don't think that'll go around. Just a little piece of pork to the gallon beef. But anyway, that's the first pork and beans there,
eh? You told me something new about July the 4th picnics.
Well,
this is something I hadn't heard before. So.
Well, that's where, in a small town like this, it was more like a family. It wasn't like it is now. She didn't know very many people. It was just like a family. They had family picnics the 4th of July, and they'd have a baseball game. And Coppell had a real good, it's just a town, young men, you know, that played ball. And I know John Howe, your cousin or somewhere else here, he was one of the best players, and he could knock a home run nearly every time. But it was down here on the Bethel School Road where they're developing that now. It was Mr. Barnes Sweet at the time, and they had it was real large oak trees, just like it is now, real thick.
This is where all the stables are. The horses.
Farm was for a while. And I don't know, out in that pasture was a clear place. There was no trees or anything. And I don't know why it didn't, but it was large enough for a baseball diamond. And they'd have the tables, they'd have this picnic on the 4th of July, and of course they'd have the tables under those old trees, and then out in the center there was where they played ball. And they'd have a barrel of lemonade, and of course I don't know what kind of food, I can't remember anything, I was small, but I was deviled eggs. And I know Mama would say, now, when we go to eat, says, you let me fix your plate. Says, I don't want you to just eat anybody's food. But I thought deviled eggs and they're fixed in vinegar. Never heard of it like that in my life. I thought they looked good, but Mama said they didn't, and she wouldn't let me have it. So she said, and she knew who fixed them, said they weren't very clean. She's not going to help them. So we were arguing about the damn days. That's the reason I remember the picnic.
Now it was hot during the course of
I suppose it was. Now we didn't know it was hot because people never had to have fans or anything on these palm leaves that they gave away. You know, that companies, funeral homes and banks and grocery stores, business places gave away cardboard fans. And that's what everybody had. Everybody had a fan at night. If it got too hot, all they had to do was fan.
So you stayed under the oak trees. You stayed under the oak trees.
Yeah, we stayed under oak. Well, I always blistered so bad. I had to stay in the shade anyway. And so we'd stay under the shade of the trees, and everybody did all around the ballpark. Well, was just a thick woods, just big old trees, and the ballpark was out. It's the stadium down here. Then just a good stuff. It's just convenient.
Who did these people play baseball games with?
Well, they played with Louisville and Carrollton Grapevine mostly, but most of the time it was with Louisville.
And they would come over here, and sometimes.
Yeah, I imagine they came over here on the 4th of July. We'd have a ball game there, but most of the time it'd be Lewis that played us. And it was a day, a big day. And then one other special day after I was older, they had what you call homecoming. The churches had that. And after they built the tabernacle out there, that's where they had that. And they would invite, we'd send out cards to everybody that ever lived here. And my mother would see people that she grew up with. That's how far back it would go. And once a year she'd see a lot of the girls and boys that she grew up with. They'd married and moved to Dallas, and not very far away, you see, and kept up with them. Of course, they had relatives out there most of them did. And that was a special. They would have a basket lunch and stay all day. I think we called it old folks' day most of the time because it was mostly older people. Instead of homecoming, we called it old folks' day. Now, we had a name for everything that's different from what it is now.
We were talking about how the words are different today, too. But your name, we call you Jack. What's your real name?
Jewel Jeanette.
And why do we call you Jack?
Well, my grandmother wanted me to be a boy. I had a brother and two sisters. She said, now, Hubert needs a playmate. And I said, this one's going to be a boy. And when I came, she'd already named me Jack, so she just called me Jack. They never called me by my name. She might as well have named me Jack. So I would have not called anything else.
And I think we can see that Miss Jack is a pretty good speaker, but you made a very famous speech at a Christmas party one time.
Oh, I sure did. I was so small. The churches did things together. Just had the Methodists and the Baptists, of course, and we did things together. Sometimes we'd have our revival meeting in the summer, and the Methodists and Baptists would have a joint meeting. And on Christmas, we always had it together, and we had a little Christmas tree that'd go to the woods. They didn't get a cedar tree; they'd get one larger than that. And most of the time we'd have a tree at the Baptist church, but it'd be both churches that took part. And because their church was taller, and they put a tree in there to go to the ceiling. And we didn't have Santa Claus at home much. We'd hang our stockings up. We knew there was a Santa Claus. And we'd hang our stockings up, and we'd get our fruit in that. But we got our dolls and things like that on that Christmas tree. It'd be a beautiful tree when they'd trim it with greenery. And they'd work all day. They'd have a committee from each church to trim that tree. And then we'd have a little program. And the first time I remember, I said a four-line speech. And I practiced on that. I was just so afraid I was going to forget it. And there was such a crowd there, because everybody came in the community. And there was such a crowd, they couldn't see the little ones. Because everything was on the level, you see. And when I went up there, and the man, they had a little table. And they stood the small children on that table. And they put me up there. I never will forget. I was scared to death they were going to fall off the table and forget my piece. And I stood up there, and I said, I'm almost a little darling. Don't you think I'm sweet with roses on my shoulders and slippers on my feet? And that was my... And I believe that that's just about the first thing that I can remember in my life. It's such a great occasion. I even remember the kind of shoes and dress that I had on. I had a little white wool dress on. I remember that. It's in the winter, of course, at Christmas time. And that was the year that I got a doll that was about as tall as I was. And Mama always loved to go out to see the Christmas tree after they get it decorated in the late afternoon. Of course, it was close to home. All we had to do was go out her back door. And I want to go see the Christmas tree. So Mama said, and told Sally, said, now you take her out. I was so small, I wouldn't go. She wouldn't let me go by herself. And she says, you take her now and let her see the Christmas tree. So then she'll see it before she does tonight. And I went out there, and the first thing I saw was a big doll up on right at the front. They put the pretty doll, you know, up in front. Oh, I thought that was a pretty thing. They didn't have it very high because it was a tall doll. It was almost tall doll. And I saw that doll, and I couldn't see anything else. So looking at that doll, Santa had started school. And she could read a little bit, read people's names. And I said, Sally, who in the world will get that doll? I hope I do. She looked and she says, well, you won't get it. She says, that's Tyler Duncan. And that was a little boy. And I was so mad at Santa Claus. And I said, what in the world would you bring a doll like that to a little boy? He tore it up the first day. I went back and told Mama.
Post office, first thing you remember. But tell us about anything that was around this area. You lived right across the street. So what do you remember about businesses or the post office?
Well, I remember the lumber yard that was right here. Cletus house is Martha Jo's daddy. Is that?
Want to get you a drink?
Oh, yeah, I'll be sure.
He was about 18, I think, him and his daddy. And this lumber yard put in. And of course, children played together just in bunches, you know, the children right here in town. Thank you. And we could use, and he was good to us. He let us play on his lumber or anything, but we didn't do it without asking. And he'd let us play up on the lumber. He says, but don't ever have muddy feet or anything. You have to get the lumber dirty. But, and we respected him enough to do that. But, of course, people would come sometime and making things, and they'd saw the wood, their lumber out here, and there'd be a lot of blocks. And he'd give us all those blocks. And we found out we could make sandals with a block of wood the length of our feet and the width, and we'd measure our feet, you know, and then we'd take a little piece of leather. Of course, you didn't have trouble finding little pieces of leather with little buckles on it because it had to act for harness, also, you know, around the place. And we'd make little sandals, bring a piece up in the center and one across there and a little buckle on it, and tack it on at the edge of the thing. And we put that on, buckle it on our feet and walk around and sound like I don't know what. And Mama would fuss at us for coming in the house with our wooden shoes on. Of course, we'd sleep in the cave.
And you told me once that your sister took you to the post office.
Yeah, now that's another thing that I can't exactly, it was right out here. It was a store. And the post office was right in the front. And I'm sure that was the first post office because it was on this end of town. And I wanted to go with my older sister. She's just a little girl. And of course, she didn't want me tagging along. And Mama told her, says, now she wants to go to the post office. And she's going, says, you hold her hand because it might be a runaway team or something. And says, you take care of her. But you take her at that post office. Well, she was mad at me, of course, because she had to take me. And she walked pretty fast. I remember that. But I kept up with her. And we went to the post office. It was up in the front part of the store over in the corner. And some woman gave us our mail. Now, I don't know who it was, whether it was Tom Harrison. He had a store. The three Harrison brothers came here. They were businessmen. They all put in a business.
they were here before my grandfather came. Good, I think, a good many years. But that, now, I'm pretty sure that is long around. I don't imagine I was over 3 or 4 years old. I just barely remember it, and I don't remember. But it was a woman that handed us the mail, a young woman.
The reason I asked to talk about this is because it's kind of interesting. As close as we can nail that down, it was that store, W.O. Harrison's store, that was built in 1887. It would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 years old. If it wasn't that one, it may have been one that replaced it because these things burned all the time. And that's where W.O. Harrison was the first postmaster. And so probably that's what it was.
But Tom Harrison then put in a store right there. And along there somewhere, late in later years, and I remember that's where we bought all of our hair ribbons and our sashes. We called it a dry goods store. Now, you don't call it that now.
And you also went to Grapevine and Carrollton and bought?
We bought our hats most of the time at Carrollton. They had
the idea hats were important.
We wore hats to school, to church when we were small. They usually had little streamers or something on them. Well, we just weren't dressed up if we didn't have a hat on there. We just had to have a hat. And we went to Grapevine a lot, and they had Yates and Lipscomb store, and they had the Lucas and Faust funeral homes, and that's the only funeral homes they've ever had up there. Unless lately now, Lucas is, I think, belongs to somebody else. But, and Lipscomb and Yates was the two stores that were there, I think, when Grapevine was found. And that's where we bought our shoes and clothes, and bought some at Louisville. We went to Louisville a lot.
And you couldn't buy those things here in Colorado?
No. You could buy work clothes now. When I was real small, but when I was pretty good size, a girl my uncle put in a store, and he had work clothes and a few shoes, not real dress shoes, little sandals and things for children. And
who has some questions for Miss Jack? Anybody have anything? Miss Jack.
Thank you. I'm Brad Austin and John Grace and Mrs. Grace. Grandchildren call her Tweet. I found out that she's her grandfather, I believe, or perhaps great grandfather, is one of the Tweets. Apparently, the Tweet Road was named for her. Did you know that family?
The Grace family?
The Tweet family.
Tweet?
Tweet.
Tweet. Tweet is French. Tweet. Tweet. Oh, yeah. My mother was a school teacher, and some of the Tweets went to school with her. Mr. Jeff Tweet went to school to her. And then, but all the Tweets lived around here as farms over on Tweet Road. That's name like King Tweet lived over there. There was 5 brothers, I believe. Lee King and Lee and Whitney. And
Walter.
Jeff
Walter.
And they all had farms, and well, we grew up with their children.
I think it's interesting that that name has always varied. Tweet, some people call it Tweet. When I was growing up, they called it Tweet.
Yeah. That's what we call it.
And
I think it's Tweet. Mm-hmm. It's what it is. We call it Tweet. It's easier to say Tweet. And when I said if you could take our generation and put it with the generation now, I don't think we could carry on a conversation. We didn't use the same language. And peanuts, I don't think I ever called a peanut. I called them peanuts. You know, they raised peanuts. We didn't buy them at the store. We had them out in the field. Most people call them goobers.
Yeah.
Some call them goober peas. One of those boys called them goober peas.
Did you know the Arnett? Or Arnett? Did you know?
Oh, yeah.
My dad was Arnett. He came to Hamilton County. He was, I don't know what year, but from Kentucky. And I just wondered if he on it up here with the lady.
I think related to them
by marriage. Oh,
Anybody else have a question? Anything at all? A lot of history here. We've worked real hard to make sure that Ms. Jack gets something down so that we can hear her stories and learn about them and learn about what goes on here. We really appreciate her being here today. I'm sure you may want to talk to her. She brought some pictures back on the table back there. And also, we have the scrapbook that has some pictures in it. You're free to look at that. We want to have a, why don't we take about a 5-minute break, and we're going to have a business meeting. I don't know what it is. We got a few things to talk about. So feel free, please, to stay with us if you'd like to. We have some other historical things coming up. I think we ought to give Ms. Kirkland a hand. Or juice or donuts, and we'll meet up.